Good morning, church. Once again, it's good to see you all, everyone here this morning. Once again, I bring you greetings from the Arlington Road Church of Christ. Of course, we are faithful, and of course, we love fellowship with this congregation. Once again, I always look at Brother Victor as one of like my mentors that I have from afar. I really respect him and all the work that he's done. So it's good to have men like that who stand on the word of God and who are sound in the faith, and it's good to see look up to them. So once again, Brother Victor, I appreciate your work and all the efforts, and of course, inviting me to this gospel meeting. I know I got the email from Brother Victor one day at work, and I was like, is he sure he got the right guy? So, of course, I showed my wife. She's like, oh, wow, that should be a good little thing for you to do. I said, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. You know, she said, well, go for it. Let him reach back out, and, of course, and do your best. And, of course, don't embarrass the family. I said, yes, ma'am, we'll do that. Okay. All right. All right, so our theme for our gospel meeting is Jesus, the Christian's example. And, of course, my assignment this morning is to explain or to define the word example. This foundational word will drive each lesson of all the men who will stand before you today and for the next few days. So it's my prayer that we continue to learn and grow in the faith as we continue to look at the life of Jesus and the examples that he had for us to follow. Now, of course, every time I teach and preach at the Arlington Road Church of Christ, all I have three things that I always try to do. First of all, I want to give glory and honor to God. Give an encouraging word to all those who are under the sound of my voice. And, of course, always, once again, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning here at Oceanside, it will be no different. So let's go to work. The definition of our word example from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary states, one that serves as a pattern to be imitated or not to be imitated. In our educational jargon, that's a non-example. Or one that is representative of a group or a type. Now, growing up here in Jacksonville, playing basketball was my thing. So from 1990 to about around 1998, 99, middle school, high school, and college a little bit. I don't know if you heard of this guy before. Michael Air Jordan. That was my guy. He was the example of the epitome of how you play basketball at a high level. And he was always must-watch TV. So, of course, as a teenager, we would always go to the basketball courts, the local parks outside, and try to mimic his moves and stuff, and we just, you know, kind of mess around, be like Mike, so to speak. Now, of course, on your organized basketball team, you could not try those moves because the coach was like, hey, if you're not making Michael Jordan money, don't be doing those moves on my team. Got it, coach. I guess what caught us up, it was just his style, his flair. It was like the way he would just wear his uniform. Of course, he ushered in those baggy shorts. Thank God for that, because my knobby knees and chicken legs did not look good in those short shorts. It was a knee brace that he wore. He wouldn't wear it on his knee. He wore it like actually on his calf muscle, and that was cool in itself. The way he would chew his gum. And don't forget about the shoes, the Air Jordans. Every year, he would come out with a different pair, a different design, and you can tell if someone had the old Jordans on or the new Jordans on. So, of course, me and my friends, we always begged our parents, hey, Ma, Dad, can we get the new Jordans? And if your mom was like my mama, son, I'm not paying over $120 for a pair of shoes that you're going to get scuffed up, dirty, and outgrow in 3 months in time. No way, Jose. So I want you to go to the clearance rack, find a $30 pair of Nikes, grab those, and come back and see me. Ma, they don't match the uniform. Well, the $30 matched my budget, so get them and come on with me to the checkout. Oh, Ma, killing me. So in my basketball world, Michael Air Jordan was my example. He was the pattern to be imitated. Now, spiritually speaking, this word example from the Greek word tupos can mean a copy, an image, a type, a model, or a figure. So, of course, in our gospel meeting this morning, this week, our figure is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How about this? I love telling this story everywhere I get a chance. My girlfriend at the time in college, who eventually became my wife, during our sophomore year in college, she introduced me to, watch this, the New Testament pattern of Christianity and the Lord's church. I grew up a respecter of God. Grew up in the traditions of men, of course, and I thought I was doing the right things and, of course, obeying God. And, of course, I was fairly, you know, I understood the Bible. I could read it, and I knew all the books of the Bible. I went all the VBS. I knew all those things. But it's just something about the things that she said, she would pique my interest, especially when it came to giving and the Lord's Supper and the church that's found in the Bible, that really piqued my interest. I'm like, well, I've been going to church all these years. I've never seen or read about this. So, of course, she sends me these gospel tracts. Still got them in my hands. See, I got them, baby. All these things, of course, they would point me back to the scriptures, and I would open up that word like the Bereans. I would search the scriptures and see if those things were so. Then about a year later, I obeyed the gospel and became a member of the body of Christ. In other words, my wife, or my girlfriend at the time, she was my first example on how to evangelize, how to convert souls to those who have a ready heart and mind to receive God's word and obey the gospel in its purest sense. Now, of course, as I started to become more serious in my walk with the Lord and, of course, my Bible study and looking at different examples in the Word of God, of course, I always looked at Abraham, of course, and in his faith. And, hey, he had to muster up in his life the faith of trusting God to leave his country to be blessed by God. Or also, what about Moses? The rewards and burdens of leadership as he was chosen to lead God's people out of Egyptian bondage. And for this topic today, I think about the discipleship of the apostles of Jesus Christ, who will be called to follow him. If you have your Bible, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 1, and I'll meet you in verse 35. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again, we're talking about example. And let's look at this initial call for his disciples to follow him. Verse 35 says, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher," "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. We see Andrew here first go find his brother, his own brother, Simon Peter. Informs him that we have found the Messiah. In my mind, I could just imagine how that conversation went as Andrew went to go see his brother. "Hey, Simon, we found the Messiah." "The Messiah? Here?" "Nah. Hey, man, I can show you better. I can tell you. Come and see," as he pulls him away to see. I could just imagine how that conversation went. Then, of course, Jesus has this short conversation with Peter. And saying, and pretty much giving him an indication that it's going to be signs of things for him to do in the kingdom as well. Let's keep reading, verse 43. Then the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I say to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see the kingdom open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Here's Philip. Find Jesus. Jesus, "Hey, come follow me." Once again, evangelism, Philip goes to tell Nathanael, "Hey, we found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Of course, after Nathanael's interaction with Jesus, he stands completely in awe of the Son of God. Now, of course, these initial disciples, and as well as others who will follow Jesus, their lives will be changed by his ministry, his example, his experience with him. All those examples that he kind of taught them to follow as you read throughout the text. Now, later in the same book, in John chapter 13, if you would meet me there real quick, John 13, verse number 1, here's the basis of our theme drawn from it. We're still talking about an example. John 13, verse number 1. Here we're going to see Jesus in his final hours before his disciples, with his disciples before his betrayal, his kangaroo court, and his crucifixion. He's going to show them an example. He's going to show them a copy, a pattern, a type, or a figure to follow. Of course, if you are Bible scholars and Bible readers, you may know and be familiar with this text. Jesus is going to perform a task reserved for household servants or slaves at the time, washing feet. Now, of course, this was necessary in those times because as they traveled those dusty roads of the Palestine area, when they would come to someone's home, of course, that would be a sign of hospitality to come down and wash someone's feet, show hospitality, and show respect from the host. Look at verse number 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which was he had girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing to you, you don't understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to be washed his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Watch verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. Verse 17. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Here's Jesus once again, the ultimate example, showing his disciples and for Christians today. In other words, you saw what I just did to you? You do so to one another. This example of humility and service for others. This is what I want you to do, guys. This is the example I want you to follow. So no matter what your level of status in life or lack thereof, according to man's level, Jesus' standards, his example and service of others should always be our example. And you look at the life of Jesus, his life, his teachings, his love for humanity, and most importantly, his humility and obedience to God. Those are the things that should be found in us as well. Our world should see this in us every opportunity that we come in contact with people. Preaching, teaching the word of God, our example, how we treat others, all those things should be a part of our life. I like how the apostle out of due season, Paul, would write to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, be imitators of me just as I am of Christ. If you follow Christ, follow me, can't go wrong. Paul will have to correct that church in his letter to get them back to the examples that he has set for them. And of course, as he sends Timothy with them to continue to work there and to set things back in order, to follow Paul's examples, the ways of Christ as instructed by them. Talking about example. So, church, anything that we do religiously and spiritually as it relates to our walk with the Lord, of course, in these last days, as my future wife would told me as a young 19-year-old, we should have a scriptural two-post, an example, a figure, a pattern for us to obey and to follow. Amen. Now, those under the sound of my voice who are not in Christ, I want to know, how do I get in Christ and the church that's found in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. I have scriptural examples what the first century folks did in that time to be added to the body of Christ. The same example applies to us today in the 21st century. All these examples either explicitly or implicitly did these items. People heard the word, Acts 2 and 22, thinking about those 3,000 souls. People believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, like the Philippian jailer and his household, Acts 16, 31 through 33. People repented of their sins, like Acts 17, 30 and 31, when Paul spoke to those men of Athens. People confessed Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Ethiopian eunuch did, Acts 8, verse 37. Then they were all baptized into Christ in water, came up as new creatures, as Christians, no more, no less. Acts 2, verse 38, those same 3,000 souls there. They were all a pattern, a type, a figure, a model, an example for all of us to be added to the body of Christ, to add it to the church, the only church that you will find in your Bible. Like my wife told me, always got to have a pattern. Obey God rather than man. And you can do the same. Once you've been baptized and added to the body of Christ and now you're among the saints, you're a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away. You're new. Continue to live faithful unto death. Continue to encourage one another to do those things that would be pleasing and acceptable to God. When the final roundup of human affairs come, we're all going to leave this life one way or the other. And we want you to make sure that you're right with God. And I want you to live faithful unto death. As Jesus promised to us, he's going to give us a crown of life. Revelation 2, verse number 10. Or if you stand in need of prayer, heir from the faith, know someone is. We also continue to ask you to encourage one another, and please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.